Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
I'm doing pretty good today. Thanks for asking. And we want to thank you all for tuning in. So today on the Voice of Yoga, we will talk about Bhakti Yoga and the path of devotion as selfless service. Listen as we discuss the function of the causal spiritual body as the expansion of identity beyond personal limits. In this show, apotheosis will be explained as the connection between divine mind and the real individual to transcend self-conscious awareness. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and experience spiritual selfhood. So Swami, let's just talk about and explain exactly what is Bhakti Yoga.
Bhakti Yoga is the yoga of devotion. In Kriya Yoga, we break it down into action, knowledge, and devotion. Karma Yoga is the yoga of action. Jnana Yoga is the yoga of knowledge, and Bhakti Yoga is the yoga of devotion.
So let's talk a bit more about that. So does either one have to go in a certain order, or how do we take that information and utilize that?
Well, the way that we do it is that they work together. You coordinate them into an organized game plan that leads to total consciousness. In order to really demonstrate total consciousness, you really need everything. But we break it down into consumable bites.
Mm-hmm. So this show is about devotion. So what does that look like when we're doing it? How do we do it?
Well, again, what we're doing is we're trying to initiate a process, apotheosis, the process of the individual becoming divine. Initially, we start out and we're kind of at a level of consciousness, what we would call unconscious awareness, where we're controlled by instinct, appetite, preservation, and survival. We're reactive, we're emotional. In order to get out of this, you really have to develop a certain degree of willpower. So in Kriya Yoga, you have a path of action. There are things that you can and you must do in order to develop the willpower and to develop your psychological organs. The psychological organs in Kriya Yoga are represented by your sheath system. And these psychological organs can be developed just like any muscle in the body, that by using them, you stress the organism, you nurture it, it gets stronger. And so in your path of action, you are enlisting strategies like skillful use of thought, skillful use of breath, skillful use of water, skillful use of food, skillful use of exercise. And they're all designed to develop yourself so that you have the capacity to separate your identity from body-bound awareness. Then the next layer of that is your path of knowledge. Basically, your path of knowledge is you must know the difference between the impermanent from the permanent, because it is the permanent that is spirit. That's the thing that we want to join with, but you have to know your target. And we've been talking about this is how we think is what we become, but we find that there are different modes of thinking. And we broke this path of knowledge down into understanding the departments of your life based on the zodiac, the 12 signs of the zodiac. And then we started to use the mutable signs that are ruled by Mercury and Jupiter as the ones that you want to target with regard to your modes of thinking, the way that we can think. Gemini was associated with the lower mind, which is basically instinct, appetite, preservation, survival. Then the next octave of that was Virgo. Mercury rules Virgo, but this was human intelligence, where you became more rational and you were able to make decisions based on mental functions, perception, reason, memory, intuition. Then we moved into Sagittarius, which is ruled by Jupiter, and we relate that to what we call the higher mind. Basically, the higher mind is associated with the cosmic mind or the world mind. It is the part of consciousness that transcends just the individual, but it is still limited to the law of karma. You're still getting your information from duality, from a dimension of reality that is apart from unity or spirit. And the final stage was divine mind, which was represented by Pisces. And divine mind is absolute. It is the infinite and it is the eternal. It is undivided and it is whole. It is complete. And so divine mind thinks in the absolute, whereas the lower mind, the mid mind, and the higher mind think in the rational. So they operate in different dimensions. But the three aspects of the lower mind are dualistic, and they're the impermanent. The higher mind, spirit, is the absolute, it's the eternal, and it's the permanent. And so devotion here is once you figure out what it is that you want to attach yourself to, that starts to give you, I think, a much different platform to live out from. Because yoga meaning union is really union of the individual with the divine. Today, there's a lot of emphasis on mindfulness, but just mindful of what? Because mindful is one thing that when the mind moves into a position of awareness, now you've got to figure out what is it that I'm aware of? And the more attention we have for spirit, the more we live out from divine mind, then the better becomes our return on our effort. But once we have acknowledged and recognized the presence of spirit, then in the Yoga Sutras, they call it constant practice of detachment and continuous restraint of the thought variations. Now, in order to do this successfully, we must be attached to spirit. We must be attached to the absolute. And for a lot of people that are struggling with that constant control of the thought variations, the reason we have so much trouble with that is the changing conditions of the personal mentality draw from duality. And we're drawing from fear and limitation. We're drawing from something that is producing this insatiable craving in the mind-body complex, basically. And in order for us to really gain control of the changing conditions of our personal mentality, the attachment to spirit, the recognition of the invisible, intangible, which is a dimension of reality that is unified. There is no contrast. There's nothing that reports in the five sense mind. That's what produces this absolute stillness, this absolute silence that we're all really seeking. But you have to be very careful in your selection here, because if you choose the absence of noise, which is really coming from the higher mind or the world mind, it will not give you the same return as if you are drawing from absolute silence, which comes from divine mind. And so here's how the path of action, the path of knowledge, and the path of devotion in Kriya Yoga really, they work together. They are coordinated. And as you make advancement in one, it will help you make advancements in the other two.
So I want to go back and talk about those two different types of silences. So we could be in a state of silence and thinking that we are meditating with spirit, when actually you're saying this could be a meditation in the world mind or mortal mind.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And the world mind is really the imitation of spirit. It is the shadow of spirit. But it is under the law of karma. That's the important distinction that I found, that you want to really start to understand, is why would you want to train your mind to serve spirit? Then the other thing is why in the Yoga Sutras do they emphasize avidya, ignorance? Because ignorance is mistaking the impermanent for the permanent. And in order to really get good results in what it is that you're trying to do with a spiritual practice, you really have to have this path of knowledge. You have to know the difference between the lower mind, the mid mind, the world mind, and then what is divine mind and the presence of divine mind. Because union with any of the three below will not give you the same return. And the interesting thing about it is that you might get an acceptable return based on the standard that you're working with. To be individualized from world mind, you can change finite bad to finite good. And most of us are pretty happy as long as we could get more of the profits and the pleasures of the world, that we would accept that and they would get off at that stop. But for those of us who want to know the whole truth and nothing but the truth, then you're going to have to go the full distance. And one of the biggest barriers to this is avidya, when you are mistaking the impermanent for the permanent, because you're still employing devotion. There are plenty of people out there who are worshiping what their concept of God. Only their concept of God is a concept of God, and it's not the one true God that will actually demonstrate divine law.
And I'd like to ask you more about avidya, because I think what you're saying is that we may think that we are having this communion with spirit, the divine, and actually we're communing with this world mind. And so how do we know the difference, and how do we become aware of these false prophets, false gods?
Yeah, I really like how Herb Fitch describes this in the Revelation of St. John, because he talks about the dragon and two beasts. And using that type of imagery has always been helpful for me, especially being my own personal experience has been that I was lost in the world mind. And I thought that I was being spiritual and then coming down with symptoms in the body. Because if you are under divine law, you are under the protection of the divine, you have human dominion. You're in alignment with the perfection of your being, and you outpicture harmony, balance, absolute goodness, peace, love, happiness. So if your outward picture does not have the representation of divine characteristics, absolute goodness, then there's discord. And in order to really correct it, you have to go back to the drawing board, which is basically what I've done. Gone back to the drawing board and started to look at how can this go wrong? because I thought the ninth house, the higher mind, was divine mind, when in fact the ninth house, Sagittarius, ruled by Jupiter, is the higher mind, but it is the world mind. And even being, like I said, individualized from the world mind, you can still have benefits. You still have the appearance of being successful, but it's not the truth, the whole truth, because it's the good that can become bad. It is life that can end up in death. And divine law can only lead you to eternal life. You are now being individualized from an indestructible principle.
Well, I think this is a pretty good place to pause to hear a word from our sponsors. So listeners, we will be back with you in just a few moments. Kriya Yoga Theory 1, Human Development and the 8 Essential Stages of Kriya Yoga. This program is a comprehensive course that will help you get your arms around the science of Kriya Yoga. It provides a clear understanding of the goals and objectives behind yoga, along with the physics of spirituality. It includes the practices, supportive concepts of Kriya Yoga, and the process in human development, apotheosis, the process of the human becoming divine. A complete guide on how to become a human in the adult state. Get the light in your soul and experience the simplicity and joy of union with the divine. This course is available in live classes at the ashram or online with 8 videos or 4 CDs. Visit our website, www.ipdtransform.com, for more information. Welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So Swami, you had mentioned before about the bodily symptoms, and you had mentioned before about the symptoms in your body. So I'm assuming that you're saying that that is a really strong indicator that we may be having to, as you say, go back to the drawing board.
Right. It was quite, I want to say, a revelation for me to find out that sickness is really a belief in something other than God. And you're thinking, wow, how does that work? But as you start to drill down with it and you start to understand the true meaning of these terms, that God is absolute goodness. God is eternal life. God is the one principle of this universe, which is absolute goodness and pure life. And so if you are demonstrating something other than spiritual law, and you are in discord, you are in conflict with the divine law of life, then something is wrong. And a lot of us have a tendency to just accept our misunderstanding or misconception of God. And rather than challenge it, we accept it and we make excuses for it. But in reality, what we're doing is we're insulting God by saying that God created evil and that God uses punishment. And this is not what we would call truth. These are human beliefs. These are fabricated concepts that most of us have accepted, and they fall under the heading of the world mind, the collective consciousness. And it's very easy to be individualized by that and to have what you think is your individual mind being televised from this world mind. But if you're not an educated consumer, and if you don't know the difference between divine characteristics and what can be later referred to as ignorance or the impermanent, the human characteristics that most of us have accepted, the characteristics or the law of karma, then you really don't know what to do with it. So you are a victim of it. But once you start to educate yourself and figure there's a different way, And I really always come back to the way the Christian scientists interpret the term repent, think differently. And you start to educate yourself. This is where I started to come up with thinking Gemini, Virgo, Sagittarius, or eventually Pisces, lower mind, mid mind, higher mind, or divine mind. And divine mind will give you the return that you're looking for because the causal spiritual body holds the template for perfect creation. It is the only thing that is self-existent in this universe. It has the power, the one power. Anything that falls under the law of karma is really the shadow of truth. It is a false sense of existence. It is the imitation of life. And it is provisional. It is finite. It is limited. And most of us accept that. But it is not the truth of your being. And if you have symptoms in your body, it's a good indicator that you have a belief in something other than the perfection of your being.
Well, I'd like to drill down a little bit more about the exchange of the energy that would be between the individual and the source. I was wondering if you could review that with our listeners.
Yeah, this is something that we have talked about in other shows. And the way we have referred to this is how you can use the law of karma to springboard your graduation into the divine law of life. And the thing that I have found is to use desire. Desire, which is pretty much the engine for the law of karma. We move towards what we want, we move away from what we don't want, and it is all based on a personal sense of desire. And once you can figure that out, that the like attracts like, that if you have desire for things visible and tangible, then you will be controlled by the law of karma. And you will be subject to the limitations of fear. If you have a desire for thoughts, visions, for opinions, concepts, anything that would fall under the heading of mental energy, then you also have an attraction for duality, and you are still under the law of karma. And if you even have attraction for the world and you are worldly minded and you have great appreciation for the world, as noble as that might seem, you still have an attraction for duality. But if you have an attraction, if you have a desire for spirit, for the invisible, intangible, then you will start to see that you will move away from the world. And that's what it kind of tells us in the Bible, that if we sow to the flesh, we are dead to life. We are dead to God. If you sow to the spirit, then you are alive, eternally alive. And when you can get your body and your mind on board with this, so that's not this huge contradiction or conflict. And that's where I found yoga to be very helpful, that you basically, you become addicted to the presence of God. And that's what you desire. And when you desire, then that sets this whole exchange of energy into motion. Because if you're attached to spirit, you are attached to your source from within. And the exchange of your energy is outward. And that's one of the reasons why they use the term forgiving. That when you are spiritual, you are attached to a resource that the exchange of energy is outward and you are programmed to forgive. You are giving outward with absolutely no need for a return. If you draw from matter or mind, then you are wired for getting. And that's what a lot of us seem to do, is we forget. And we forget that we are made in the image and likeness of the divine.
I remember a long time ago I had mentioned to you, I think maybe on a radio show as well, that right after 9/11, I remember driving up Route 16 in New Hampshire, going up to the mountains and seeing this homemade sign that was put on somebody's front yard. And it was written on there and it said 9/11, never forget, never forgive. So when you were just talking about that, it reminded me of that. So what are some of the errors in that message?
Well, the first thing is that it's not backed by truth. It's not backed by divine law. It is someone's opinion. It's a human rule that someone made. And it has merit in the context of its own limitation with regard to it is all about the law of karma. And everything's going to be contingent upon what are my goals and objectives? What is it that I'm looking to get out of this experience of life? Because if you're looking for the truth and nothing but the truth and the whole truth, then you have to understand the role of forgiving, that you can't be connected to spirit if you are forgetting. And then there's a whole dynamic that happens with this, because spirit is the dissolving force of the universe, that we have to give up a personal sense of self in order to acquire an impersonal sense of spiritual selfhood. But it's not something that I do. It's not something that I say, there's no me. That is passive. There is nothing to that that has power. But if I accept my spiritual identity and I draw from a resource of energy, the sustaining infinite of this universe, that will dissolve a personal sense of self. And what will be left is what we are talking about here, which is selfless service. That you now graduate from a personal will, personal ambition, to the will of the Father. You are now living out from the divine law of life. It's not my will, but it is thy will. And that is backed by truth. That is when you start to see that human dominion is found in God's perfect law of life.
So that's what you mean when you have written in your notes that forgiveness in this context is the highest form of praise. And then to see all of life in its beauty and wholeness is devotion and selfless service. And this form is an act of worship.
Right, because that's what we said. Imitation is the highest form of praise. And once we assume our spiritual identity, that is when the like attracts like and everything falls into place, that you don't have to grind this whole thing out, that you live by the divine law of life. You live by the grace of the divine.
Well, great. So I think it's time we have to start closing down our program for today. So listeners, please visit our website. It's www.ipdtransform.com. When you're on the website, there's all kinds of tools there that you can use to continue your learning experiences. And don't forget, also, on the website, you can also sign up for the free webinars that Swami has available at Wednesdays at noon. And we also have Wednesday nights at 5 o'clock. We have our Facebook Live episode. Swami, do you have any other final thoughts or comments about today's program?
Well, I'd always like to encourage people to give up a personal sense of I and accept your spiritual sense of selfhood and embark on your path of selfless service in devotion to this connection. And with that, I wish everybody a good day. Namaste.
Thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton, along with Swami Jayananda, signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.